once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior love gave me peace, joy, and love when he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, oh, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, I was near to despair, but he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete, oh, when he reached down his hand for me. How my heart doth rejoice when I hear his sweet voice. In the tempest to him I then flee, there to lean on his arms, safe, secure from all harm, since he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, oh, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me.
Amen. Open your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, to two passages of Scripture. First to Deuteronomy. Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and then over in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 1. Sure good to see you today. Thank you for coming and being in the service. Many of you said that you prayed for Mrs. Smith and I on a regular basis while we were gone, and I appreciate that. She behaved herself well, and I attribute it to your prayers. Stand, if you will, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. Someone said, why do we stand when we read the Word of God? Well, God tells us in His Word that He has exalted His Word above His own name. And if God holds the Word of God in such high esteem, we certainly ought to also, shouldn't we? The Bible says in verse 33 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, it asks a question. Did ever people hear the voice of God? We could stop right there and it would be enough. Do you ever hear God speaking to your heart? Now, I don't mean with an audible voice. God speaks by His Holy Spirit. Speaks through a still, small voice. Speaks many other ways, too. Speaks by His prophets, His preachers. Speaks plainly through the Word of God. Speaks by His Holy Spirit. The question, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and lived? It's talking about Moses. But I want to take the first part of it and simply asked you, has God ever spoken to your heart? Have you ever felt God tugging at your heartstrings or convicting you of sin or speaking to you about His will for your life? Have you ever heard God speak to your heart about getting saved? Getting right with God? Have you ever heard God speak about your backslidden condition if you're backslidden? Have you ever heard God speak to you about getting in church, serving Him, and living for Him as a Christian should live for Him? I simply want to ask you the question, have you ever heard the voice of God speaking to you? God is not off in some distant place where He's untouchable and unreachable. And God can make known His will and does make known His will to us today. Now in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times or certain times and in divers manners in many different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He's saying to Israel, God has spoken to your fathers by the prophets, and they ignored Him. Do you ignore God when He speaks to you? But hath in these last days spoken unto us. God hath in these last days spoken unto us. You can have a relationship with God. You can hear from heaven. He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. I want to talk to you about hearing God when He speaks. Hearing God when He speaks. We've been so caught up in the hustle and bustle of this world. We've been caught up in our own little programs that we haven't had time for God. God speaks and we don't listen. We don't hear. Our ears are tuned to everything except God. Now I want to talk to you for a little while about hearing God when He speaks to you. Hearing God when He speaks to me. And let me stop right here and say to you, the voice of God speaking to you as an individual is not a fearful thing. It's a wonderful thing that a holy, holy, holy God is interested in you, your life, your affairs, your hurts, your burdens, and how you're living for Him. Father, help me in these next few moments to make very plain the simple message that we have for this morning. Thank You that You still speak. Help us to understand that You do not speak to us as You spoke when You gave out the Word of God. Because the canon of Scripture is closed, we do not believe in a continuing revelation. We believe that You have made known Your will and You, through Your Word. But You still speak to our hearts in accordance to the Word of God and with agreement to the Word of God about how we should live and how we should serve. You speak to unsaved sinners about salvation. Now, Lord, help me today to make this message very plain, and Holy Spirit of God, would You do Your work and speak to each of us this morning about Your will for our lives. And we'll thank You for every soul saved and every decision made in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us many have heard the voice of God. Many have heard God speak. Moses heard the voice of God many times. And the first time is referred to in our scripture reading when he's talking about God speaking to Moses out of the burning bush, the bush that was on fire but was not consumed. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he called to them while they were hiding from them, from God, because of their sin. He said, "Adam, where art thou?" And God is speaking to you today about where you are in relationship to him. Oh, you may not be hiding behind a tree, but you're not in his church. You're not living according to the Word of God. And God's speaking to your heart today. God didn't speak to Adam and Eve because he hated them. He spoke to them because he loved them. And he wanted to provide a covering for their nakedness. And God wants to provide a covering for our sin and draw us back into sweet fellowship with him. In Genesis 6, God spoke to Noah. When God was about to judge the world with a universal flood, God spoke to Noah and told him to build an ark and put his family in that ark, and God was going to drown the multitudes on the earth because of their wickedness. In Genesis 31, God spoke to Jacob. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, from Jacob the supplanter, the trickster, to Jacob, the Prince of God. I want you to know God can change your name today from the no good sinner that we have been to a child of God and an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, God spoke to the prophets, spoke through the prophets to our fathers, and he makes it plain that he's speaking to us today through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now the fact is that God has spoken to mankind throughout the ages. From Adam to this present age, God has been concerned about a close, personal, intimate relationship with every one of his children. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, I want you to know somewhere in this service, God is going to speak to you about your need of a Savior, about your lost condition. He's going to speak to you and let you know that without a new birth, there's not one chance in 10 billion you could slip into heaven. He's spoken to people in very unusual ways. Why, he spoke to Jonah through a storm and a fish. God knows how to get our attention. You know, we used to plow with mules when I was a boy, and somehow or another they didn't listen. They had selective hearing. Sometimes you had to give them a whack with the reins to get their attention. God knows how to get our attention. He spoke to Jonah through a storm and a fish. He spoke to Balaam by his donkey. Now, Balaam was supposed to be a prophet of God and was so far away from God that his donkey had more spiritual discernment than he did. But he spoke to Balaam through his donkey. He spoke to Peter through a rooster. He spoke to me 46 years ago as a young Christian when I thought I could make it I couldn't make it without holding my tithe. I bought a muffler for my car with it. That night my little daughter got sick, ran a high fever, and when I put my hand on her brow and felt that heat, the Holy Spirit said, "You know, I have power over all these things." God spoke to me through the fever of my daughter and let me know that I had stolen from him. God spoke to backslidden Don Baker, a friend many years ago I went to church with, got backslidden and away from God, and he spoke to him on Lake Grapevine shores as they drugged for the body of his teenage daughter that had drowned. God spoke to my mother and father 63 years ago when my brother was killed in the Second World War. Up until that time, they didn't go to church. They had not been saved. They wouldn't listen to the preacher. They wouldn't accept the witness of friends and neighbors. But God got their attention. And they went to church and heard the gospel and got saved. It's a wonderful thing when we hear God speak. Have you heard from God lately? Christians ought to commune with Him frequently. Why, it's more difficult for me to hear from my children in Oregon than it is to hear from God. Man, you've got direct relationship to Him. You can tune in on the frequency of faithful, fervent prayer, and He's always there to hear you. If you'll listen, you can hear Him speak. I believe He's speaking today. So how's He? I believe God's going to use the financial crisis our nation is in to get attention of some people. I think God is saying to you right now, some of you, you ought to have listened to me and followed my advice about the Scripture in reference to your finances. You've broken every rule. Now you're in debt, you're in trouble, and the finances are drying up, and jobs are drying up, and the economy is getting tough. We're just seeing the tip of the iceberg right now. We're going to face a number of years of sore difficulty. You better listen to God. We're not going to be able to make it without Him. Yes, we can make it, but not without Him. God has spoken something to say. He's got something to say to every child of God. Every person here today, God has a message for you if you'll just listen. 8 times in the gospel, God says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Do you listen when God speaks? 7 times in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of the Revelation, God says, "He that hath an ear." You don't even have to have 2 good ears to hear from God. In fact, you don't even have to have an ear. You don't have to be able to hear with your ears. These men will hear through their eyes. God has a message for them. But we need to listen. We need to listen. And by the way, when God spoke to the churches in the book of the Revelation, He wrote a letter and addressed it to the pastor, and the pastor delivered it to the people. And it was a message from God. You ever consider the preacher delivering a message from God? It may be addressed directly to you. Now, I want you to notice 3 simple thoughts for our message this morning. God speaks to His children about sin in our lives. God speaks about sin in our lives. Let me say this, and you listen to the preacher this morning. It's impossible for a child of God to sin and not get caught. It's impossible for a child of God to sin and get by with it. If nobody else knows, God knows, and God's going to speak to your heart about your sin and my sin. Why, God used His preacher Nathan to speak to King David about his adultery with Bathsheba. Kings are not immune. Presidents are not immune. Preachers are not immune. Sunday school teachers are not immune. We all hear from God when we sin. I wonder how many in here today are hearing God speak to your heart about sin. You say, "Preacher, what sin are you talking about?" The one you're thinking about right now. The one that God is bringing to your mind that you're dealing with in your life. God used His preacher Nathan to speak to King David about his adultery with Bathsheba. God spoke to discouraged Elijah through a still small voice. You can read about it in 1 Kings 19. In 1 Kings 19, there was a great wind, but the Bible says God was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. There was a great fire, but God was not in the fire. Then God spoke in a still small voice. When God speaks, the person next to you can't hear God speaking to you. But when God speaks to you, you hear Him loud and clear. Oh, it's not an audible voice. But the Holy Spirit will bring to mind those things God wants to point out in our lives. Sin that we need to deal with. Rebellion. A bad spirit. Disobedience to God. You know, some people want God to speak to them supernaturally. You're kind of like the rich man in Luke 16. He said, send somebody from the dead to speak to my brothers. Well, I got news for you. I don't want anybody coming back from the dead to talk to me. They can talk to you if that's you want them to, but not me, brother. I don't watch those spooky things, and I don't read those spooky books. And by the way, God's not going to send someone back to the dead. That's a bunch of phony baloney in the world today. The rich man said, if you'll just send somebody back from the dead, my brothers will hear them. And God said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, that's the Bible, they won't be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Let me tell you, God's going to use this book to speak to our hearts, and He'll use it this morning as I preach to speak to some people about your life and your sin. Now, you've got one of two things to do with it. You can either hear and obey, and that's why God speaks. Or you can hear and disobey and be a rebel. Jesus asked the question, why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? You call yourself a Christian, why don't you hear God and obey Him? Won't you hear God when He speaks to your heart and get right with God about the area He's dealing with? And when He speaks, He'll speak in a still, small voice. But we want more than that, don't we? We want a voice from heaven. Get right with God, you reprobate. Hey, guy, cut your hair like a man. Hey, woman, dress like a lady. No, God's not going to speak like that. How's God going to speak? Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, that on the Mount of Transfiguration, they heard God speak. But then He says, but God has given a more sure word of prophecy. He's talking about the Bible. Says we're not going to hear Him speak audibly. But this is the Word of God. And we need to hear Him speak from the pages of this book. And I promise you, if you'll read this, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind those things in your life that are contrary to the will of God. God is still speaking. We're just not listening. He still speaks to our lives. He spoke to His church through letters and by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit always agree. Every now and then I'll have someone trying to be super spiritual come to me and say, Brother Smith, the Holy Spirit of God led me to do this. And it's completely contradictory to the Bible. You say, what do? I look them square in the eye and say, you're lying. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead anyone to do anything that goes against His Word. They're in perfect agreement. God's not in disagreement with Himself. God spoke to backslidden Ananias and Sapphira about stealing from God and making promises they would not keep. He spoke by the Holy Spirit as He revealed it to the preacher. And the preacher spoke to them about it. God still speaks to Christians today. He speaks about sin in our lives. He speaks in order that we might feel conviction and repent. And by the way, you might be saying, my sin is insignificant. There is no insignificant sin with God. He speaks to us today about sin in our life. So how do you know, preacher? Because He spoke to me. And I find myself having to get on my knees and say, "Oh God, forgive me. I've sinned." The Holy Spirit makes it stand out. Dear God, what am I going to do? Ignore Him? Rebel against Him? Say no to Him? He's my God. I'm His subject. I owe Him my love, my allegiance, my obedience. He still speaks to His children about sin in their life. I ask you again, what's God speaking to you about this morning? It may be pornography you're involved in. It may be the immoral use of cell phones. You know, cell phones are not sin, but you can turn them into a sinful tool by all the stuff that you don't need to be involved in that you can get involved in on a cell phone. One of which is texting in church. Maybe it's an internet problem. You say, but all of those are newfangled things. Hey, God's not behind the times, folks. See, man have just, they're just now discovering some of the things that are already in the wisdom of God. Where do you think they got the intelligence to know how to do those things? He still speaks to our heart. And I've got to ask you one more time, are you hearing that still small voice when God speaks to you? Secondly, God still speaks to His children today about His will for their lives. God did not save you just to live for yourself. He saved you and has a will for your life, a will wrapped up in His plan and His purpose for you. You do understand we were created by Him and for Him. And God has a will for your life. He spoke to Samuel when he was but a little child. Samuel thought it was Eli. Eli said, "I'm not speaking to you, son. Go back and go to sleep." Finally, he came and said, "You called me." And Eli finally realized it was God speaking. And he said, "Son, you go back, and when God speaks, you say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" God has a message for you this morning about His will for your life. God called Samuel into the ministry as one of His prophets. He heard Him speak. God's speaking to someone today about His will for your life. In Isaiah chapter 6, God spoke to Isaiah about surrendering his life to go preach the Word of God. He said, "Who'll go with for me?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd obey God and yield to God when He speaks? He spoke to Jonah about preaching to Nineveh. Like some of you, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites. They were enemies of Israel. They would come into Israel and raid the villages and cut off people's head and take their heads back to Nineveh with them. And the streets, the roads going into Nineveh had poles on each side of the road with skulls of Jews, Hebrews, that they had killed on those poles. Now, Jonah's going to have to go into Nineveh. He said, "I don't want to go. I want you to kill them." God had to give him an attitude adjustment before he was willing to answer God's will for his life. God spoke to one of His servants in Damascus and told him that Saul, the greatest enemy to Christ and Christians of that day, had just gotten saved and was a chosen vessel to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. You can read that in Acts 9. His name was Ananias. God spoke it to the preacher, and the preacher revealed it to Saul. God spoke to one of the deacons of the church in Jerusalem who was preaching in Samaria and told him to go out into the desert because there's one man coming from Jerusalem going back to Ethiopia that he wanted to hear the gospel and get saved. God revealed his will to the churches of Asia Minor by sending letters to them. God is speaking to some here today about his will for your life. Some of you need to get back in church. Some of you need to get in church for the first time. Some of you need to start going soul winning and witnessing. Oh, yesterday, it was a thrill to my heart to pull out of the parking lot and see one of the men, one of the new members, going out soul winning yesterday. What a blessing. What a joy. Maybe he's speaking to you about starting to go out and be a witness. Maybe he's speaking to you about starting to read your Bible regularly. Maybe he's speaking to someone about the lack of a prayer life. Maybe he's speaking to someone about tithing. You've never gotten started tithing. Maybe he's calling someone to teach a Sunday school class, or to work a bus route, or God bless, he may be calling someone to be his preacher in this last generation before Jesus comes. But he still speaks to us about his will for our life. Thirdly, God has spoken to every lost sinner about free salvation by the way of Calvary's cross. That's what this verse is telling us. That in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. God has a message for the world, and He preached that message from a cross. When Jesus hung there, He was not just dying, He was preaching a message straight from God. See, the message of the gospel is a warning to every sinner about how much God hates sin. And when I talk about the gospel, I'm not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking about Jesus hanging on that cross, suffering and bleeding and dying for us. I'm talking about Him going into the grave and being raised again after 3 days and three nights. That tells us how much God hates sin, that He'd put it on His Son and judge our sin in Jesus. If you reject Jesus, don't be so foolish to think you'll get by with your sin. God says He hates sin. The message from the cross is good news that sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ Himself. It's been paid for. Let me tell you, stock markets crashing don't affect my salvation. See, the price has already been paid. It's not dependent upon the fluctuation of the economy today. It's paid for. And God is wanting us to know that sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ. I don't know of anything you can get free today that has a price on it so great no man can pay for it, but it's available free, and it lasts forever, and you don't ever have to worry about losing it. But that's what salvation is, and that's the message from the cross. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you invited Him into your heart? I promise you there's not a person here today that wants to go to hell. But there's no way God can keep you out of hell if you've not trusted His Son as your Savior. You must be born again. You've got to be born again to go to heaven. The message of the cross is an invitation to every unsaved person to be saved. Isn't it amazing? On the cross, when Jesus' hands were nailed to that cross, they were outstretched. And they're still outstretched today, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The cross is an invitation to any sinner and every unsaved person to be saved. You say, I don't know if God can save me. Are you telling me that God's price of His sinless Son on Calvary is not enough to pay for your sin? It's enough to pay for your sin and the sin of the whole world. You just need to trust Jesus. You just need to come to Jesus. And the message of God from the cross is a warning to every unsaved person who does not receive Christ's free gift of eternal life. If God will do that to His Son to purchase salvation for you, what does hell look like if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior? As wonderful as Jesus and heaven is, so horrible is hell for the unbeliever who will spend his forever without God in that place called hell. And listen to me. No matter how bad life's been for you today or this in your life, it's going to be like a picnic compared to one hour in hell. Nothing you've ever gone through is going to be as bad as 1 minute in hell, where you know there'll never be an opportunity to get out. Hell has no exits. It's forever. And the message of the cross, when you look to that old rugged cross is a warning that unless you come by the way of Jesus Christ, you have no future to look forward to except hell. The message of the cross is an appeal to every child of God to live their life for Jesus Christ. Why? John looked at that message and says, what manner of love is this that we should be called the sons of God? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me say, lastly and in conclusion, when God speaks, He expects us to obey. He does not speak just to exercise His voice. He speaks because there's a need in our life. He points it out. He expects us to obey. What kind of a person hears God speak to them and then disobeys? I tell you, he's a rebellious person. That person's an ignorant person. That person's a foolish person. That person's a backslidden person. Again, I ask, have you ever heard God speak to your heart? Not in an audible voice, but you know when He speaks. I say again, God's not going to have a special dispensation just for you. He's going to speak through His Word, through His preachers, by His Holy Spirit, through a gospel song, by that still small voice inside that only we can hear. But when God speaks, He expects us to hear and obey. Like Samuel, we need to say, speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth. When God speaks, He speaks with full expectation that we do what He asks us to do. God still speaks and God still moves in the heart of men. Do you hear Him today? He's not just trying to pass time. He's revealing His will and His plan for your life. So what do I do? Come to Him. Trust Him. Repent. Yield to Him. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Get right. Get in His will. Answer His call. It's a wonderful thing to hear from God and obey God. I've heard from God many times. almost 45 years, going on 45 years ago, God spoke to a 25-year-old Christian boy, man, in church. He spoke to me about preaching the Word of God. It looked impossible. I was a nobody, I was a nothing, no talent, just an ordinary person. And yet God spoke to my heart. And I knelt at an altar and surrendered my life to Him. And I'm here to tell you, if I had 10,000 lives to live, I'd want to be a preacher in every one of them. I don't regret one day answering Him when He called me to save me. When He called me to the gospel ministry. When He spoke to my heart about teaching in a Sunday school class as a layman in the church. When He spoke to my heart about tithing and giving. No regrets! It's wonderful when we hear and obey God. And I still want you to know God's speaking today. Are you hearing? An invitation in a church service is a time for you to obey God about that which He's been speaking to you. God has been speaking to some here today about salvation. He's been speaking to some about church membership. He's been speaking to some about getting baptized after you're saved. He's been speaking to some about serving Him in the local church. God's speaking. Are you listening? Let's bow in prayer. Father, that's our message this morning. Simple, plain, direct.